Please turn to Psalm 146. We'll start at verse 1 and read the chapter. Praise ye Yahweh. Praise Yahweh, O my soul. While I live, will I praise Yahweh. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth, and that very day his thoughts perish. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in Yahweh his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. Yahweh looseth the prisoners. Yahweh openeth the eyes of the blind. Yahweh raiseth them that are bowed down. Yahweh loveth the righteous. Yahweh preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. Yahweh shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Hallelujah. The title for our exhortation this morning is indeed Hallelujah, which is what praise ye the Lord is. This particular psalm is the first of the five Hallelujah psalms concluding the whole book. There are a few scattered psalms that have this context as well, but these last five psalms in the whole book of Psalms each begin and end with this word, Hallelujah. We will try over the next few exhortations to look at each of these five chapters, which close out the Psalter. There have been comparisons that these chapters correspond to the five divisions of the whole book itself. And I think we have had exhortations about the breakdown of Psalms and how it is actually broken into five books and parts. Also, Bullinger stated that the chapters starting here relate, if you look in some of the references given, they relate to Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. The authorship of this psalm is not stated particularly. Some suggesting possibly Isaiah, as there are similarities with Isaiah 42, both of which reference Yahweh's breath, his help to keep thee, as maker of earth, heavens and earth, and loosing the prisoners, and so forth and so on. But we're not here today to look into that, as many scriptures overlap from book to book. As that truthfully, you know, when I started studying the scriptures, that was the absolute beauty of the way the scriptures are written, in that everything does overlap. Everything refers back one to another. With all of its many writers and centuries of writing apart, and we've heard exhortations about that as well, about the creation and perfection of the Holy Scriptures. The message is in perfect continuity, and we know that. And that's one thing that attracted me to the truth and to the Scriptures. Praise ye Yahweh. The word praise is mentioned in 216 verses and 248 times in the Bible. The reason should be self-evident, because that is what Yahweh does indeed deserve. The first mention of this particular word is in dealing with Leah and the birth of Judah, in which in Genesis 29:35 we read, "And she conceived again and bare a son, and she said, Now will I praise Yahweh. Therefore she called his name Judah and left bearing." There are 32 mentions of this exact phrase, "praise the Lord," in Scripture. And David, as is many times in his Psalms, has the single most references to this wording. In Psalm 7:17, and I'll just go through a few of his, he says, "I will praise Yahweh according to his righteousness, and will sing praise to the name of Yahweh Most High." Psalm 107, verse 8. And you could see David's intent as we read through these. We know David was a very spiritual man and very close to deity. And you could see him saying these things in utmost honesty. 107:8, "Oh, that men would praise Yahweh for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." In fact, in this psalm, it is quoted four times. Psalm 117:1. "Oh, praise Yahweh. All ye nations, praise him, all ye people." Then we go to Isaiah 12:4. And we read, "And in that day shall ye say, Praise Yahweh. Call upon his name. Declare his doings among the people. Make mention that his name is exalted." And lastly, we go to Jeremiah 33, verse 11. And you can see the coverage of time frames and words of who these words are directed to. Those who should praise the Lord. Those in normal states, and we see in the future as well. Jeremiah 33:11, "The voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the voice of them that shall say, Praise Yahweh Zevaoth, the Lord of hosts. For Yahweh is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And of them that bring the sacrifice of praise unto the house of Yahweh, for I will cause the captivity, the return, the captivity of the land, as at the first, saith Yahweh." The structure of Psalm 146 exhibits the usual two-part pattern of the hymn. Psalm 113 is a good example of that pattern, which we see in it a call to praise in verses 1 to 4, followed by reasons for that praise in verses 5 to 9. In fact, Psalm 113 is very similar to our study today. Psalm 146 begins with a call to praise in verses 1 to 2, supplies the number of reasons for praising in verses 5 to 9. In verses 3 and 4, insert words of instruction. Verse 10 consists of the confession of faith and a final call for us to praise Yahweh. Hallelujah. This 146th Psalm relays familiar lessons that we should all know and keep in mind with our everyday service to our Heavenly Father. We start off with verse 1, with a declaration of worship and praise. Hallelujah. And this praise will come from the soul, as it says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul." This word, nephesh, the creature, the life, or breathing frame. We shall worship from our very being. It is repeated again. Praise the Lord, as an emphasis on just how important this concept is. In verse 2, we are told, "While I live, will I praise Yahweh. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being." This is a curious statement, is it not? But one we fully understand. While I live, I will praise the Lord while I have any being. What is that telling us? Well, it's telling us that man is mortal and of a few days. Our reading this morning in Psalm 49 depicted that picture very clearly, in which we have scriptures. Talking about the fool, the brutish person leaving their wealth to others. It says, "Nevertheless, man being in honor abideth not. He is like the beasts that perish. Like sheep, they are laid in the grave. Death shall feed on them. The upright shall have dominion over them. When he dieth, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. Man that is in honor and understandeth not is like the beast that perish." Man is mortal. Verse 4 is even more emphatic, in which we read, "His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth, and that very day his thoughts perish." These verses put the rest of any notion of the concept of an immortal soul. David repeats this sentiment in a few psalms. Let's turn to Psalm 63. We'll read verses 3 and 4. "Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name." Psalm 71, verses 14 and 15. "But I will hope continually, and will yet praise thee more and more. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof." He knew that his time was limited upon the earth, but he would praise Yahweh more and more as the days progressed. Psalm 104:33. "I will sing unto Yahweh as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being." We shall worship from our very soul, from our very being. We all have heard exhortations about time and how we use it and how fast it goes away. What are we doing day to day, brethren? And I'm talking about myself. None of us know the time of our lives. It could be snuffed out at any given moment when Yahweh withdraws the breath from us. Should we not be spending it wisely? Verse 3. Put not your trust in princes nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. There is an old adage which sometimes we pass on to our children. Trust is earned, and once lost is not easily regained. It's a great lesson for all of us. Trust is earned, and once lost is not easily regained. We know that the dictionary meaning of the word means a firm belief in the reliability, the truth, the ability, or strength of someone or something. Strong's tells us it deals with somewhat the same concepts. To be confident or sure, to be bold, hope, trust. These are words that are used. But what in? What do we trust in? We have a lot of natural trust in our daily lives. We trust that the sun will arise the next day. We trust gravity to keep us here on the ground. We trust the rotation of the planet each and every day, that it will not burst into a big ball of flaming fire, as some say that it will. We trust that there will be a meeting to go to on Sunday and have that blessing. These are natural things, but all of these things are always at Yahweh's control. But that is not what the verse states. The last of the verse is the clue. In whom there is no help. Can leaders or nobles offer you help? Can you trust in the natural man in this world? This word help is, in this case, the word teshua, meaning rescue, deliverance, salvation, or victory. Put not your trust in princes, nor in man, in whom there is no salvation. The reason is in the verse that follows. Because his breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth, and that very day his thoughts perish. How can we put our trust of salvation in someone who is in the same condemned condition as we are, whose life is as dust and bloweth away? Genesis 3:19, we read, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. 1 Peter 1:24, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Even our own brethren even our own brethren that sits next to us each and every Sunday, do not have the power to save us on an individual basis. They can help us when we're down and can support us during our life in the truth. And many times and most times they do. I know you have been of excellent support for me. But there is only one that issues salvation. One that issues the true help that we need. And that is Yahweh. The next five verses continue the structure of the psalm in offering reasons for our praise. And brethren, we really should need reasons, because we know why we should offer praise to our Heavenly Father. Starting at verse 5. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in Yahweh, his God. This verse reminds us of the Beatitudes. Happy or blessed are they, those that have the God of the promises for his help or aid, whose expectation is in Yahweh. That is the hope of the multitudinous seed in which we strive to be part of. Let's turn to Genesis 28. We're going to read 13 through 15. And behold, Yahweh stood above it and said, I am Yahweh, God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to all west and to east, to north and to south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken of to thee of. The promises that we have, brethren, from the very beginning, which God swore by himself that they would be done on this earth, we know that we are blessed are they that have this God of Jacob and the promises that came through him and through his father and father before for his help, for his salvation. Verse 6. Which made heaven and earth and sea and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever. Another reference to Genesis, as I think Bullinger purports. You know, if we look about this, there's a lot of concepts and relation and truth in here relating to the Genesis. Another reference, reminding us that we can trust Yahweh, not only because of his promises, but because he was the creator and sustainer of all things. Let's turn to Psalm 33, 6 through 9. By the word of Yahweh were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear Yahweh. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Let's turn to Jeremiah 32. Starting at verse 17. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands and recompensest the iniquity of the fathers in the bosom of their children after them. The great, the mighty God, Yahweh of hosts, or Yahweh Zevaoth is his name, great in counsel and mighty in work, for thine eyes are open all the days of the sons of men, to give everyone according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Does not the creator of all the universe and the keeper of all the earth and all that therein, does not Yahweh deserve our constant praise? Whether it is in word and prayer or in how we guide our lives in righteousness. Verses 7 through 9. Which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. Yahweh looseth the prisoners. Yahweh openeth the eyes of the blind. Yahweh raiseth them that are bowed down. Yahweh loveth the righteous. Yahweh preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked he turned upside down. Yahweh does all these things. He looses those bound in the shackles of mortality. Yahweh opens the eyes, the blind, to the ways of truth. He raises or comforts those that are lowly. He loves those that are righteous. He keeps and observes and watches over the sojourner. But he shall revenge the wicked. Yahweh does all these things on a daily basis. So should we not praise him in our daily lives, in prayer and thought and action? We who are as chaff and deserve nothing but death are taken care of by our Heavenly Father. Let's turn to Matthew 6. It's a very well-known section. Starting at verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body. What ye shall put on, is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into an oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? And finally, we come to verse 10. The Lord shall reign forever. Yahweh shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Hallelujah. Psalm 10:16 tells us, Yahweh is king forever and ever. The heathen are perished out of his land. Isaiah 9:7. We read of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of Yahweh Zevaoth will perform this. In Revelation 11, 15, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Yahweh is from the beginning and forever, a concept we mortals have a difficult time understanding. If he can reign forever, he can never fail, and he is our God. He is the God of Zion, the land of promise, and the city of the living God. He has extended help from generation to generation. Therefore, should we trust in him with all of our hearts and bless Yahweh. Hallelujah. The Orlando Ecclesia's basis of fellowship is exclusively the unamended statement of faith, including the commandments of Christ and the doctrines to be rejected. Let's enter into our memorial portion of our service this morning with the singing of hymn 101. How few received with cordial faith the tidings which we bring. How few have seen the arm revealed of heaven's anointed King. Hymn 101.